I only watched one episode of Friends, and it was the episode where Phoebe has her guitar and she's singing
Smelly Cat.
Mm-hmm. What are they feeding you? Which must have been a really good song because I remember.
You only watched one episode of Friends. Huh?
One episode.
Wow.
I remember an episode from Mr. Ed where he recorded a song and it became like the number one hit in the country.
Mr. Ed?
Mr. Yeah. Ed?
Mm-hmm. Pretty Little Filly with the Ponytail.
Oh, horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Well, I never watched a single episode of Mr. Ed. Not one.
Well, your life has, you will never be fulfilled until you.
I'll see if I can remedy that later on today.
All right.
We watched some Andy Griffith last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
I watched very little Andy Griffith.
That was a good show.
Leave It to Beaver was on when I got home from school every day, so I watched those episodes over and over.
See, we didn't even have a TV most of the time when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I think we got one, borrowed one, to watch the Olympics one year, and then we had it until it died, and then we didn't have one again. When we did have it, we mainly watched Dukes of Hazzard and A Little House on the Prairie. Mm. And we didn't watch TV during the day at all because that was wasting daylight. When there's work to do.
I remember when we got our first color TV, my dad brought it home and plugged it in, and it was black and white. It was black and white with like little red and green lines outlining the people. I was like, color TV is so disappointing. And that's what we watched for like a day. And so then the next day I got home from school. I'd been told under strict orders not to touch the color TV, but I did. Turned it on and I said, wonder what this does. And I turned it and all of a sudden color appeared. And I was like, wow. So I said, see, this is what it's supposed to look like. And got in trouble for having touched it. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Welcome to another riveting episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast. I'm informed that this will be episode number 18, not counting the ones that we thought we recorded, and it turned out that we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Operator error.
I'm Steve Haupt, and to my left is...
Let's see. Let's... On this side, I'm Brian DeLay.
And to his left is...
Nathan Smith.
And to his left is an empty chair.
Empty chair.
Because Jason Myers is off today.
I'm Jason Myers.
Staining decks or doing some kind of nefarious work like
that.
So, yeah. Welcome. We're glad you're listening. And today, we thought that we would explore small groups, or as we call them at Piney Ridge Church, Piney Families.
P-Fams.
P-Fams, and we want to just maybe cast a little vision for what we see as the important benefits of having small groups and maybe talk about some things that small groups aren't supposed to be and things that maybe some expectations that people might have that for them to fulfill that really aren't the expectations that that they should have for them. So let's begin with Pastor Brian DeLay, who is the pastor with oversight of Piney Families and
overlord of Piney Families.
The overlord. The guru of Piney Families. And president of Piney Families.
Master and commander.
Good alliteration.
Brian, just briefly, what's your vision for what Piney Families, what role do they fulfill in the church?
In a very broad brush response to that, really, Piney Families are an expression of the local church, a smaller expression of the church universal. Often when we think about church, we think about a Sunday morning gathering. We gather, we sing, we hear preaching, pray, and then we leave, and we show up again the following Sunday. And while that's a very important expression of the local church, it's not the fullest expression of the local church. On a Sunday morning gathering, we don't have the best opportunity to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another with very specific needs, to bless one another with very specific needs, to pray with one another. When we look at the early Acts church and how they were gathering in people's homes and they were sharing meals together and they were praying together, we don't always have those opportunities to do on a more relational, personal level with people in a Sunday morning gathering. And so our Piney families seek to do that with the goal of being a fuller expression of what the local church is, you know, between the Sunday morning gatherings and our weekly Piney family gatherings.
I was thinking about, why do we have Piney families? And this is really what Brian just said, but the way that I said it was, in order to have a regular, accessible context in which to love and serve our, as we are called and commanded by Jesus. So, if I may, read some scripture. May I?
Oh, absolutely. Great.
So, in John 13, this is shortly before Jesus was going to go to the cross, he washes the feet of his disciples, and then he says in verse 12, the last part, he says, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you, I know whom I have chosen." And then later on in that chapter, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And the Apostle John in 1 John says, let's love not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And I think that's what Jesus was saying as well, that don't just say you love each other, but do acts of service. And I think it wasn't that particular act of service of washing people's feet, but Jesus was saying, do just generally serve one another in a way that this is, you know, kind of a symbol of that. The most humble, servant-like thing that could be done is what Jesus did. And so I think that there are ways that we serve on Sunday mornings, that we serve one another, but in specific personal acts of service, it's often hard to even connect in a way that we know how we can do that on a Sunday morning or have the opportunity to do that. And so gathering together with a small or medium-sized group and a Piney family gives us the opportunity to know people on a level where we can actually obey what Jesus told us to do and loving one another through serving. So there are a lot of other things that that entails too, but just broadly, I think of it as a context in which we can be obedient to love each other as Jesus commanded us.
So on Sunday morning, as pastors, when we preach, we are proclaiming the Word of God, and we're proclaiming truth, and we're trusting in the Holy Spirit to apply those words individually to the hearts of believers as he sees fit. But in a small group, we have not just the pastors, but everyone has a chance to speak the gospel into each other's lives and to know more intimately what each person needs, and maybe to encourage each other in growth and in sanctification in specific ways, as opposed to the more, you use the phrase broad brush, but on Sunday mornings, that's more what you're doing when you're proclaiming the Word of God. So one way we can serve each other then, as you're talking about, Nathan, is that we can encourage each other in our growth, in our sanctification, and our walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this passage in 1 Corinthians 14 has always troubled me a little bit, because for the past, say, 12 plus years, I spent a lot of my life planning worship gatherings. And 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, each person has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." So just that phrase, each one, I think in a bigger gathering, what's troubled me is that, you know, on a Sunday morning, generally there are, let's be generous and say there are four people who are up front leading in a way that you could say that they're sharing, you know, a word from God, or leading a hymn or something like that. So it's just kind of bothered me a little bit. Like, how do we obey this? If this is what Christian community and worship is supposed to look like, then how do we do that? And I think because Paul goes on to say that things should be done in orderly fashion, if we have 200 to 250 people gathering together, I think it could easily be disorderly if everyone, literally everyone there, was to share something. We would be there for a long time, which might not be so bad, but it'd probably get a little bit chaotic. And so I think that in a smaller group setting, there is the opportunity for everyone there to share something that God's been teaching them from the Word, to take part in. I mean, I think it doesn't happen as often as maybe it could, and I would like for it to, but different people can lead songs or suggest, hey, let's sing this song together. I think it would be a blessing to sing this hymn together. Or so just to be able to use the different gifts that God has given to each member of the body. Those don't all have the opportunity to be exercised on a Sunday morning when we get together, but in a smaller group, often they do.
Mm-hmm. And what are some specific ways that we hope that in our Piney families that we would be serving each other? We've already talked about encouraging each other spiritually, but there are other ways to meet each other's needs within the Piney family. Just what are some of those specific ways that we hope to see that happening in our Piney families?
Even before talking about those, to kind of tag on to what you guys have already said about encouraging one another, I think so many people, most of us probably sit in a small group setting and there's discussion going on, and we're afraid to say anything. We're afraid to share what's really on our hearts or ways that we are struggling, for fear that people are going to look down on us or that somehow we're not going to measure up with others. Pretty good chance there are other people sitting in that same circle who are thinking the exact same thing, yeah, and would be so blessed by hearing your struggles, hearing you be transparent with your life, because that's going to encourage them. Oh, wow, you're dealing with this, yeah, as well. Let's talk. Let's pray for one another and encourage one another. So back to your question.
Well, ways that we can serve one another, we've talked about encouraging. I think playing off of Jason's sermon from Sunday, another area that I know that my Piney family could grow in is in challenging each other, holding each other accountable, and helping each other with sin that we see in each other's lives that maybe that person's not even aware of, or they're not aware that it's evident to other people, and not doing it in a mean-spirited fashion, but doing it in a way that I'd like to come alongside you and pray for you and help you and encourage you in that, and show you in the Word of God what the Word of God says about that sin, and that we need to put it to death, and asking how we can pray and support each other. I think that we could do a better job in our Piney families of being transparent and in having a conversation that digs deep into the Word of God and deep into what's going on in each other's hearts, because that's where the battle's fought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just in case anyone missed that sermon on Sunday, Brian, or any of our other extensive listening audience, let me read Ephesians 4, where the message came from. I'll actually read 25 on down for a ways. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So I won't re-preach the sermon, but Jason made it clear that this passage is not what is often understood from it, that it just means if you're mad at somebody, make sure that you resolve it quickly before the sun goes down. But it's actually so that it would be interpreted, if you are angry, don't sin in your anger. But it actually, it's a clear command to be angry. And in the context, Paul is saying, be angry at the sin that you see in your brothers and sisters' lives. Be angry about it. Be angry
and yourself
in a
well.
Righteous, yeah, mm-hmm. And yourself, and be angry in a righteous way. Don't sin by in your response to it, but especially in taking so much time that your anger dissipates and you never bring it to their attention. So be angry at sin and address it quickly, and be loving and not sinning yourself in that. So then he goes on, and give no opportunity to the devil. So when we leave sin unconfronted, when we let it fester in someone's life, we give an opportunity to the devil to enter into the life of the church. And then going on, verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So Steve's going to preach on those verses this week. So I won't get into his message because I don't know his message. But the whole passage here is in the context of relationships, and again, those kind of relationships where you can have these conversations, both in knowing people well enough to know what's going on in their life so you can see when they are in sin, or you can at least, especially if it's a heart sin, you can see kind of hints of things that might lead you to ask questions to help them to know their own heart better, to be aware of things that they need to be looking for. And then in the encouraging part too, in verse 29, speaking words that are good for building up. We can do that on a Sunday morning, and we should be looking for opportunities too, but those opportunities are more frequent, and we're able to better speak specifically to people in a smaller group where we have, you know, a closer relationship with people, and we know specifically even how they think and how we can speak in a way that they're going to really understand what we're saying, rather than just kind of giving some general, you know, truth on a Sunday morning to someone that we don't know very well. It just, being in a smaller group and having that relationship, gives us the opportunity and gives us the relational knowledge to be able to kind of speak to people in a way that is actually going to build them up. So those were related to, maybe not necessarily to your question about other ways that we can serve, but just those are, I guess, there's serving in word, and then there's serving in action, and we're called to do both. And so you were asking about, I think you were asking about more specifically, what are some ways that we can serve through actions like washing one another's feet type things?
Well, in a small group, I think, is where you get to know each other more intimately. And you should be connecting with those people throughout the week so that you know when there are needs that arise, and you can meet needs, financial needs, or you can meet service needs, or if someone's in poor health, you can help them out and those areas. If someone is in the hospital, you go and visit. And so you rejoice with those who rejoice, mm-hmm. and you weep with those who weep, not just in word, but yes, also in action. And that's where all this takes place. It takes place within the confines of the small group.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important that we take the initiative to really get to know one another, more than just on a surface level, but at a deep heart level. And that's our expectation of our leaders, and really should be our expectation of each other, that if we're expecting to show up on a weeknight to Piney Family and just kind of sit and take in some teaching and have some food and then, you know, check that off and we go home again, we're going to be missing out on so many blessings that we would receive, so many blessings in serving others as well. And so to do that effectively, we have to sometimes move out of our comfort zone and just get to know people, get to know what's going on in their lives.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.